Slowly, reluctantly, the robot took another step forward. The psychologist shouted at the top of her voice, without taking her eyes from the robot, "Get every other robot out of this place, somebody! Get them out quickly and keep them out!" Somewhere within reach of her ears, there was noise and the thud of hard feet upon the floor. She did not look away. Nestor 10, if it was Nestor 10, took another step, and then, under force of her imperious gesture, two more. He was only 10 feet away when he spoke harshly, "I have been told to be lost." Another step. "I must not disobey. They have not found me so far. He would think me a failure. He told me, but it's not so. I am powerful and intelligent." The words came in spurts. Another step. "I know a good deal. He would think, I mean, I've been found. Disgraceful. Not I. I am intelligent, and by just a master, who is weak, slow." Another step, and one metal arm flew out suddenly to her shoulder, and she felt the weight bearing her down. Her throat constricted, and she felt a shriek tear through. Dimly, she heard Nestor 10's next words. "No one must find me. No master." And the cold metal was against her, and she was sinking under the weight of it. And then a queer, metallic sound, and she was on the ground with an unfelt thump, and a gleaming arm was heavy across her body. It did not move. Nor did Nestor 10, who sprawled beside her. And now faces were bending over her. Gerald Black was gasping. "Are you hurt, Dr. Calvin?" She shook her head feebly. They pried the arm off her and lifted her gently to her feet. "What happened?" Black said, "I bathed the place in gamma rays for 5 seconds. We didn't know what was happening. It wasn't till the last second that we realized he was attacking you, and then there was no time for anything but a gamma field. He went down in an instant. There wasn't enough to harm you, though. Don't worry about it." "I'm not worried." She closed her eyes and leaned for a moment upon his shoulder. "I don't think I was attacked exactly. Nestor 10 was simply trying to do so. What was left of the first law was still holding him back." Susan Calvin and Peter Bogart, 2 weeks after their first meeting with Major General Colner, had their last. Work at Hyperbase had been resumed. The trading ship with its 62 normal NS2s was gone to wherever it was bound, with an officially imposed story to explain its 2 weeks' delay. The government cruiser was making ready to carry the two roboticists back to Earth. Colner was once again agleam in dress uniform. His white gloves shone as he shook hands. Calvin said, "The other modified nesters are, of course, to be destroyed." "They will be. We'll make shift with normal robots, or if necessary, do without."
"Good.
But tell me, you haven't explained. How was it done?" She smiled tightly.
"Oh, that. I would have told you in advance if I had been more certain of its working. You see, Nestor 10 had a superiority complex that was becoming more radical all the time. He liked to think that he and other robots knew more than human beings. It was becoming very important for him to think so. We knew that. So we warned every robot in advance that gamma rays would kill them, which it would. And we further warned them all that gamma rays would be between them and myself. So they all stayed where they were, naturally. By Nestor 10's own logic in the previous test, they had all decided that there was no point in trying to save a human being if they were sure to die before they could do it."
"Well, yes, Dr. Calvin, I understand that. But why did Nestor 10 himself leave his seat?"
"Ah, that was a little arrangement between myself and your young Mr. Black. You see, it wasn't gamma rays that flooded the area between myself and the robots, but infrared rays. Just ordinary heat rays, absolutely harmless. Nestor 10 knew they were infrared and harmless, and so he began to dash out, as he expected the rest would do under first law compulsion. It was only a fraction of a second too late that he remembered that the normal NS2s could detect radiation but could not identify the type. That he himself could only identify wavelengths by virtue of the training he had received at hyperbase under mere human beings was a little too humiliating to remember for just a moment. To the normal robots, the area was fatal because we had told them it would be, and only Nestor 10 knew we were lying. And just for a moment he forgot, or didn't want to remember, that other robots might be more ignorant than human beings. His very superiority caught him. Goodbye, General.